response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
It's a floating party this afternoon on the SF Bay Ferry route between Richmond and San Francisco. And KCBS's Megan Goldsby joins us live now to explain. Megan, sounds like fun.
Yeah, Margie, the party just getting started here soon. Lola is today's featured artist on the Richmond-San Francisco Bay Ferry. She's just setting up her equipment right now to get the music started.
I think it's a great idea. Like, you know, being on a boat and looking at the bay, you know, you're on the water and you listen to some good music.
Yeah, it's a concert series for the SF Bay Ferry, making a more peaceful or even fun commute, says Tio Saragi, who speaks for SF Bay Ferry. They've seen ridership numbers go up above pre-pandemic levels. Now, last time I was talking to you, Margie, from this boat, we were talking about specialty beers that were offered on board.
Being creative is definitely part of keeping our ferry passengers engaged, but we really just want to bring a diverse group of folks on board, get folks excited about either their first time or the 50th time being part of the ferry, and just getting a lot of new riders.
Yeah, there's a bar on board, so if you're going to have a beer, you might as well come listen to some music and dance as well. This is the second in the four Fridays that they are doing this concert series. If you can't catch it today, you have a few more chances to do it. And there's some added excitement and bonuses here as far as performing on the water. We just had some pretty big swells. It's a lovely day outside, but there were some big swells making us go, whoa. So imagine doing that while singing and being on a guitar. Reporting live on the bay, Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
Well, you got a good assignment this afternoon, Megan. Enjoy. Historic music camp near the Russian River is still picking up the pieces after last week's big storms did significant damage to its Casadero campsite. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports from the North Bay. Now the organization is scrambling to clean up and rebuild.
Tucked back in the redwoods of western Sonoma County, the Casadero Music Camp has welcomed tens of thousands of young musicians since its founding in the late 50s.
They sleep under the redwoods. They play under the redwoods.
Executive Director Emily Weinacht says the punishing Christmas Eve storm downed five massive redwoods on the property and spread debris everywhere, destroying a pair of tent cabins and damaging more than two dozen more.
Two of our propane tanks were hit, so there's just a long road of repairs and cleanup for us up at camp.
Volunteers will be out in force this weekend to support the Berkeley-based organization, cleaning and assessing the property.
I think we're going to find more once we clean up all the branches and debris and pick up the trees and get them off-site.
Weinacht says there's plenty of work ahead, and more volunteers and donations will help in preparing the site to welcome hundreds more young musicians this summer.
Getting all the other stuff we needed to do, we already knew we needed to do, done so that we can reopen and welcome our first campers in the beginning of May.
In the North Bay, Mike DeWald, KCBS.
Sonoma County Sheriff's Department investigating the death of a kayaker on Doran Beach. Crews responding just after 10 this morning to a report of an unresponsive man in the water. The Coast Guard found the man wearing a flotation device near a kayak equipped for crabbing. Officials say another kayaker had found him face down in the water and was trying to rescue him. The man was declared dead at the scene. His identity has not been released. Officials aren't sure if the man experienced a medical emergency before ending up in the water. Sheriff's office is investigating. Oakland is preparing to say a final formal goodbye to a man who was so much more than a coach. KCBS's Matt Bigler reports, tomorrow the family of John Beam is hosting a public celebration of life to honor the legacy of Laney College Athletic Director.
Coach Beam's death is a huge loss to the Oakland community and beyond. Piedmont Police Chief Frederick Shavies is a mentee of Beam's and read a statement from his family.
We are devastated that John Beam, our loving husband, father, coach, mentor, and friend, has passed.
The suspect accused of shooting Beam at Laney College yesterday is 27-year-old Cedric Irving. He is not a student at Laney, but Oakland Assistant Police Chief James Beer says Coach Beam did know Irving.
And this is not uncommon for him to have a relationship with someone that he would think needs help. In this case, I can just tell you that the individual that was arrested went specifically to the campus for a specific reason.
That reason remains a mystery as the investigation continues. Police say they used multiple surveillance cameras from the college, from businesses, even buses to identify the suspect, and a sharp-eyed sheriff's deputy made the arrest at the San Leandro BART station. At Oakland Police Headquarters, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
A judge has ruled that President Donald Trump's administration cannot block child care and other federal social services money from flowing to five states for now. The administration said earlier this week it would not release money for three programs aimed at helping needy children and their families in the Democratic-led states of California, Colorado, Illinois, Minnesota, and New York. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said there was a reason to believe there was fraud in those places, though it did not cite any evidence. Under the ruling today, the new requirements are on hold until further court action. Heads up, stargazers. Tonight's the night to see Jupiter at its brightest and most spectacular, if you can brave the cold. KCBS's Rebecca Gideon with how you can see it.
But the upside to these cold temperatures? Super clear skies in the forecast for the whole Bay Area. Jupiter will reach its fullest brightness around 12:30 a.m. when it reaches opposition to the sun, reflecting its light.
And opposition means that it's directly opposite the sun, so that if you drew a line from the sun through the Earth, Jupiter would be on the other side of that line.
That's program director with the East Bay Astronomical Society, Dave Rodriguez. Adding to the spectacle tonight, the four Galilean moons will be arrayed in a line on either side of the gas giant.
Each of those moons is extremely remarkable. Their names are Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto.
And Dave tells me you may even be able to see them, too, with good vision and a good pair of binoculars. Not bad for something that's so far away.
It takes light 45 minutes to travel from Jupiter to the Earth. So the light you're seeing left from there 45 minutes ago.
For those who want to see tonight's celestial show, look towards the southeast for the brightest star in the sky that's not twinkling. Dave says that's how you know it's a planet, not a star. Rebecca Gideon, KCBS.
Art galleries, museums, and organizations around the Bay Area are gearing up for San Francisco Art Week, which starts on the 17th. KCBS's Shannon Golden reports this is the third edition of the event, which helps industry aficionados and newbies to the art alike explore the region's thriving scene.
The walls of Frankel Gallery in downtown San Francisco are getting a fresh coat of paint ahead of a busy week.
We always look forward to the Art Week. It's a chance to see so many wonderful colleagues and friends and collectors in town.
Daphne Palmer, gallery president, says many of those folks are in town for the Fog Design and Art Fair at the Fort Mason Center for Arts and Culture.
We also see people who have never even been into a gallery who might live locally.
And they're all in store for a week full of special exhibits and events, extended hours, and family-friendly activities at almost 100 galleries and museums around the region. SF Art Week provides a guide for it all on its website with a map as well.
Having this resource really allows people to wayfind and make sure that they don't miss special things that are going on.
And SF Art Week director Emily Cunahan says this year they're partnering with Shop Dine SF to make it a culinary adventure too.
When you're planning your visit to a museum or a gallery, you can find a great place to eat or maybe to shop.
In San Francisco, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
A man facing murder charges in connection with the deaths of his parents has died behind bars. Contra Costa County Sheriff officials say staff at the Martinez Detention Facility responded to a report of an inmate who had deliberately banged his head inside a cell yesterday morning. The man was taken to a hospital where he was treated and cleared. He was then taken back to the facility and received medication. That evening, a deputy sheriff found the inmate unconscious in his cell. Despite CPR, he was later pronounced dead. The inmate has been identified as Kirk Richardson from Concord. He was facing murder charges in connection with the shooting deaths of his parents, who were found in their home on New Year's Eve. A judge has ruled that President Donald Trump's administration cannot block child care and other federal social service money from flowing to five states for now. Earlier this week, the administration blocked money for three programs aimed at helping needy children and their families in the Democratic-led states of California, Colorado, Illinois, Minnesota, and New York. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said there was reason to believe there was fraud in those places, although it didn't cite any evidence. States filed suit against the administration yesterday, and under the ruling, which was just issued, The new requirements are on hold until further court action. And San Francisco finally winning its war on traffic deaths. After years of rising fatalities, 2025 saw a record-breaking turnaround. KCBS's Matt Bigler reports from San Francisco.
Pedestrian deaths dropped from 24 in 2024 to 17 last year. And advocates are cautiously optimistic that the safety measures the city is taking are working. Marta Lindsay with Walk SF says the speed cameras here are slowing drivers down.
We're going to see those crash rates come down, and then it's going to be time to pass more legislation so this program can expand.
The SFMTA says daylighting at crosswalks and protected bike lanes have also helped increase pedestrian visibility. Meanwhile, at the state level, the DMV is piloting a program that could revoke licenses for drivers caught going over 100 miles per hour. CHP Sergeant Daniel Keene tells CBS Los Angeles the message is clear. Do not speed.
If it's not worth your license, it's not worth your life, nothing is worth going 100 miles an hour.
In San Francisco, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
A power outage caused flaring at the Chevron refinery in Richmond. A spokesperson with the refinery tells KCBS it started just after 7 this morning due to problems with a power line going into the refinery. Crews were able to restore power and stop the flaring within a couple of hours. The spokesperson says there may be some intermittent flaring while the crews continue the work. In his last State of the State speech, the governor is proposing a major overhaul to the education system by taking power away from the state school superintendent. As KCBS reporter Holly Kwan tells us, the idea would be to streamline the system to create more accountability and improve student performance.
There are too many governing bodies with too many sometimes opposing projects. The proposal would remove the superintendent as head of the Department of Education and instead appoint someone from the State Board of Education. This would give the governor more power. Troy Flint is spokesman for the California School Board Association.
There has long been criticism of California system where you have these two independent state officers, the governor and the superintendent, as not being efficient.
The governor's proposal is based on a recent analysis that found the current system too complicated, with no clear person in charge of improving test scores and attendance rates. Right now, fewer than half of California students meet state standards in English and math. Holly Kwan, KCBS.
Wildlife crossings have been proven to be successful not only to protect wildlife, but motorists as well. Now, as KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports, a few wildlife crossing projects will soon be underway in South Santa Clara County.
Work is starting on the designs for a multi-year project that will create wildlife crossing structures across Highway 101, Monterey Road, and rail lines in South Santa Clara County.
Coyote Valley has been a top conservation priority for decades. It's one of three places where we can connect the Santa Cruz Mountains to the rest of California.
Taylor Jang is with the Peninsula Open Space Trust. They've teamed up with the VTA.
This project is also going to help improve motorist safety as well by reducing wildlife vehicle collisions.
The projects still need environmental reviews. Zahira Gulzada is the deputy director for the VTA highway program.
During the construction phase, when we are building it, how is that construction itself going to be impacting the environment?
A one-mile stretch of Highway 101 that crosses Coyote Creek is in the top 5% of annual wildlife car collisions per mile in the state of California. Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
It's a way to date in person that's gone viral. As KCBS's Megan Goldsby reports, San Franciscans are signing up to pitch their friends on stage to a crowd of waiting singles.
Who knows more about you and has nicer things to say than your best friend?
He's very adventurous. He loves to travel.
It's what JJ was preparing to tell a large crowd at the Fete on Haight Street about his friend Kay during the Date My Friend event co-hosted by Lower Haight Local. Joel Reske is the magazine's editor.
I think apps try to sell us on the premise that we need them to find connection, but really, connection is everywhere.
Okay, why date her? First off, she's morally hot, so what does that actually mean?
Reski says a flyer for this event went viral.
We got comments like, when are you doing this in Dubai? Like,
they're even holding a big one at the California Academy of Science nightlife event next month. Kay says they may go to that.
I'm also single. I just want to put myself out there. Why not? We're both, you know, extroverted, adventurous people, so... here we are, you know?
Yeah, they may go again, depending on how this pitch goes, of course. At the Fate on Hate, Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts. And stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.